And now, live from New York City via Los Angeles, California, it's time for The View from Over Here with the man who has a view for all seasons, your host, Stan Weisleder.
Glamorous Sunland. News of the week on CRNTalk.com that you are hearing at The View from Over Here.
Well, before you go, news of the week, I have to apologize to our audience because the opening, our microphones were dead.
Oh.
Oh, no.
What about now? Are they dead now?
I don't know. Are they alive, Paul?
Paul, wake up.
They're alive.
You know how to wake him up? Let's drop a couple of F-bombs.
He just did a Donald Sterling apology.
Donald? You mean he's going to talk about Donald Gate? I don't believe it.
Well, the only thing his apology lacked was sincerity.
Well, he shouldn't have did it. He shouldn't have done that himself. He should have had an attorney talk about Magic Johnson. Because once you say bad things on the radio, you know, it's there forever. Yeah. You can't take it. There are no backies. You can't take it back.
Tape lives
You should
forever.
Have had an attorney do those things.
And you don't say anything bad about Magic Johnson.
No, you don't.
Well, anyway, he stuck his foot in that one.
Okay,
right,
start at the beginning.
Let's get to the news of the week.
Yay.
Da-na-na-na-na.
All right, my very first two-wheeler bicycle, which was a Raleigh. Never heard of that name, I bet. Anyway, cost about $45 back in 1947, and that was with all the trimmings a long time ago.
Was that a three-speeder or a...
It was a regular. We didn't have three speeds, and it was one speed, as fast as you could pedal.
Yeah, I remember that they used to have what we call the English racers.
Yeah, well, that was because people that had money like you. I didn't have money.
The Schwinn was a big bike.
This was a Yiddish racer.
Yeah. Anyway, how would you like a Mazda 2 mountain bike, okay? It goes for about $1 million. Why so expensive? Because it's 24-karat gold.
And you need a 24-karat gold bike. Why?
I didn't need it. I mean, if you want it. If you want one now, you could have one.
That is so crazy.
$1 million.
Yeah. Well, has Marilyn put in her bid for a Christmas gift or a Hanukkah gift?
No, not yet.
but she will.
We have to talk about the news of the week
now. Are you listening, Marilyn?
No, she's still sleeping. Anyway, at one time, you know that the average population of this country changed every year. It was about 20%, okay? That took into account everybody who moved, people who lived in one place all their life, or people who moved every other month because of one reason or another. Now, some states have more going out and some have more coming in. The states that have the most going out, New York, New Jersey, and Illinois. And the states that have the most coming in, North and South Carolina and Oregon. Did you know that? No, you didn't know that.
Well, you know why? Because the bridges were stopped, especially in New Jersey.
You're absolutely, so you did know. Anyway, tattoos. You have a tattoo, Malcolm?
Yeah, but I can't say where.
All right, don't tell me where. I really don't
care. Film at 11.
But about 7 years ago, 13% of our population, adult population, had at least one tattoo. And now that's up to 20%, or one out of every five, and most of it due to females getting in on the bandwagon with tattoos.
How dare they? Did that sound believable?
Dare and they dare.
I'm not sure how I feel about women having tattoos. Sometimes I like it, sometimes I don't.
I have a great joke about tattoos, but not for this program.
Not for the show.
Not for the show.
Be careful, Paul. Be on the alert.
And pensioners. Malcolm, you're not on. Are you on pension?
I wish I were.
Okay, you're not. Okay, you're still too young. They've been in the news lately. Pension and pensioners. Okay? They've been making the headlines. And one such recipient, her name is Irene Triplett, age 84. And she collects $73.13 a month from the government because of her father's military experience in the Civil War. Can you imagine that? She's the last survivor of Civil War pensioners or beneficiaries of pensioners still alive. How about that?
That's how old was she? Where is she?
Okay, one more item.
She's 84.
Okay,
84.
A few weeks ago, we spoke about the new planet that was discovered, Kepler-186f. It's about 500 light years away. It lies within the Goldilocks zone of its own sun. Therefore, it's Earth-like, right size, et cetera, et cetera. Perhaps a place where life could or might develop. Well, if they had a telescope there that was powerful enough to see us, you know what they would see? All they would see would be dinosaurs walking around because of the distance and the time that it takes for light to travel 500 light years.
Wow.
They could see the beginning of the Earth?
That's
amazing. I don't
know if
they go back that far. But anyway, we have two very interesting guests in the studio today, other than myself and Malcolm. We have Michael Herman, who's going to talk to us about writing and scribbling.
Well, Michael, you don't have to really use a headset.
No, it looks more professional.
It looks more professional, but I don't think it's on.
But I have no sound coming through them.
But speaking to
Can you mind?
But speaking to the microphone. Because otherwise...
Is this better?
Much better.
And we have one other guest today. The female giggling that you hear is from Karen Page, who is a world-renowned psychic. Okay.
Was it psychic or psychotic? I don't remember which
one. My mother used to say physic.
We are psychotic for doing what we do. She is a psychic, okay? And Michael Herman is a writer of, ill repute.
There we go.
Not
awesome.
Ill repute, but of...
There's a button there that gives volume.
Okay, Paul, what are you doing here? You're supposed to be in the control room.
He's making everything work, Stan.
Yeah, he's too controlling. I have to give him an F-bomb or two to delete.
Well, what would his sign be?
Whose sign?
If he's a controlling person. Is there a
you
zodiac?
You mean besides stop being a putz?
I don't know.
Can I make an observation?
Sure.
Ms. Page is the only one on this show right now that does not have a New York accent.
Because she's the only one that's not from New York.
I was born and raised right here.
Unbelievable.
Where are you from?
Observant
New York?
Of you.
No.
I grew up in Rockland County, New York, actually about 8 miles from where Stan lived about a month before I met him.
That's amazing.
His daughter was the first girl that I ever met when I moved to California in 1979. We went to school together, and she said she was from Rockland County, New York. I never met anybody else who even knew where Rockland County was.
Well, they were waiting for you to mention it. That's why. There are a couple of other people that live there.
I've met three people in my life, other than his daughter, who have told me that they're from Rockland County.
Well,
it's like finding people that have the golden egg or something.
Well, see, I feel like I'm going to wind up under glass in the Smithsonian.
Because
I'm the only native Californian I know.
Oh, I've met a lot of native Californians.
I'm not like from Ohio or Yehupitsville or Yehupitsville,
wow.
You know? Well, wherever I go, I meet someone from Brooklyn. And generally from someone that went to my high school. And there's a DJ out there, a host, Dennis Prager, who has a show.
I know Dennis.
Yeah. And
his son.
Right. And he says that probably... We'll find out that the beginning of a civilization started
in
Brooklyn.
Of course.
Just that people from Brooklyn think that.
Well, isn't it true?
I don't know. My dad's from Brooklyn.
My mom's from Brooklyn.
I know him well.
What high school did you go to?
Lincoln.
My dad went to Madison.
That's a rival. I played against him.
What?
I went to Jefferson.
Was that in Brooklyn?
Of course. Oh. Where else?
Where's Lou Zigman when we need him?
Well, he went to, Lincoln High School.
Lou went to Lincoln.
Until he moved out to California.
Now, he was a guest of ours. He started the New York Alumni Association.
Oh, I remember that. I remember when he used to meet at Nathan's in Encino.
So there's a group of about, I would say, about 2 million people out in Los Angeles that were born in Brooklyn.
Which is why I feel so at home.
And the other five people were natives.
Yeah. You know what's amazing to me?
When anybody says to me, are you from Brooklyn? My answer is... Well, isn't everyone?
You know what is amazing to me is how many successful people, like influential people, are from Brooklyn. It's amazing how much talent and influence
and
wealth came out of just out of Brooklyn.
New
York.
That's the truth. Well, it's our gene pool.
Well, speaking of Brooklyn, and have you guys seen the Brooklyn Nets?
The who?
They used to be
NBA.
The New Jersey Nets.
The who?
The NBA Brooklyn Nets. They're playing for they're playing Miami Heat. I mean, they're down, but they're still a great team now.
Well, they're going to lose to Miami.
No, they're not. Yes, they will, probably.
I never heard of them.
You never heard the Brooklyn Nets?
No.
This is the first year
And this lady is a psychic, and she never heard of them.
Yeah, but she has a blind eye to basketball.
No, that's not true.
Can you predict winners?
I don't do sports.
Do you do lotto numbers?
Yeah. No.
If paid enough, can we get you to do some sports predictions?
No.
Well, I have
unless it's the only sports I'm sorry, Stan. The only sports predictions I do are things like when I predicted that Jerry Rice would have that major injury, and everybody said, "What are you insane? This is a guy that's like invincible and doesn't hurt himself." And I went, "This one's gonna."
Did you predict the OJ verdict?
Yes.
Well, Karen, I have a question I want to ask you, but not on the air. I'll ask a jury commercial.
Okay.
Not with a million people listening all over the planet.
Uh-oh.
Why? But it's just us.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Well, is anybody listening to the show? Please raise your hands.
Between us.
You have to remember, this is digital, so number one, it's all over the planet. And number two, once you say it, it's there forever.
I
know. There are no backies.
I know.
Yes, I...
By the way, hi, everybody. I have clients all over the world, so this is a perfect way to say hello to them.
No, very good. Do that. Yeah. We have people calling in. Well, when we used to have call-ins, but then it takes too much time away. And especially if you get a nutcase calling in.
Ah, the Michigana.
Yeah, and even if they're legitimate.
Well, we only have 1 hour a week. If we could expand the show. Now, listen, if you want to be a sponsor of the show, we could do five hours of the week.
We're not even an hour. By the time we get done with the commercial,
we're 48 minutes.
48 minutes.
So there's no time. But when we come back from the break, which we're not going to yet, but we'll talk more about... what it means to be a psychic.
Oh, I'd be delighted.
And what you can do.
You got it.
Okay. Also, Michael, we want to talk to you about how you motivate people in their writing field, their writing business, or whatever they think they want to write about. Because in L.A., everybody thinks that they could be a writer and make gazillions.
Everyone has you go to Hollywood Boulevard and stop people. They're either writing a book, thinking about writing a book,
or they're going to be a waiter.
Or they are a waiter.
Or a bartender, or you know.
Hey, but bartenders like make a lot of money. So do waiters in a good restaurant.
Some of them make more than writers.
Well, you know, those are the guys that you meet on Hollywood Boulevard when they tell you they're a writer, and you say, "So, what do you really do?" That's what I heard that for 35 years.
I don't
so
know
what
if
really
Hollywood
do.
Boulevard is the right reference for that.
Okay,
but
Melrose
maybe
would
Wilshire
probably be
Melrose,
better.
Yeah.
Or Wilshire, yeah.
La Brea.
La Brea.
La Brea. Yeah, in the tar pits.
Well, and what do you think exactly
you know what,
those
the tar pits,
were
I always
doing
thought
in
that
there?
Would, I've always thought that the tar pits would be a great way for, let's say, a criminal group to get rid of a body. You toss them over the fence, they sink into the tar.
It takes about 100,000 years
sure
for it to sink into the tar. So if you've got a long time to wait for the body to disappear.
Do you think, I have to ask you, Michael, do you think that the reason all those dinosaurs were found together in that place?
Hold on to the thought.
We're coming up to a break. You're listening to The View From Over Here, heard on CRN Digital Talk Radio and carried on the World Wide Web at crntalk.com. And we'll be right back in a few minutes with our guests, so stay tuned.
Yeah, Karen Page and Michael Herman.
See, now you're on.
Hi.
Where's the camera?
Right here.
Go.
Oh, it's right there. Camera's
we're
here.
Back. Okay, pay attention. We're going to take attendance right now. If anybody's not here, you'll be marked absent. All right. Michael, why don't you tell us a little bit about your motivational tricks and how you motivate people in their writing and in to hone their writing skills?
Well, let's see. In terms of honing your writing skills, my expertise is not so much in the craft of writing. I shouldn't say in the art of writing. It's in the function of writing.
Michael, try not to turn away from the mic.
It's getting your... Is that better?
Yeah, much better. Is that good, Paul?
It's getting your
Paul
book,
nodded.
Your mission, your message out and deliverable. A lot of people procrastinate and avoid and...
it's absolutely true.
Just do everything they can not to get their message out for whatever reason. And it's a pity because we're all put here on this earth for a reason, and that's to share our love and our heart and our message. And we all have unique perspectives on the world. And all of our journeys are special. So even if nobody wants to buy it or read it, it's important for everybody to be willing and able to put their stuff down and get it out. And that's what my expertise is, in teaching, coaching, and enabling people to get their message out, whether it's through a book or a screenplay or a speech or a dramatic piece or whatever it is. And I have certain practices that I've created over the past 35 years of writing that...
You're not old enough to do anything for 35 years. What are you talking about? Well, you look like a baby.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I had my first book published when I was 12 years old.
See, I rest my case. You're not old enough to do anything for 35 years.
Off the mic, you were telling an interesting story of what happened to you I think when you were a child. How old were you?
I was five.
Five.
So basically my expertise in life comes from the fact that when I was 5 years old, I fell 12 feet through a platform, landed on my head on a concrete slab, and had four craniotomies, which are brain surgeries, after which I went into a coma for a month. And when I emerged from the coma, I was paralyzed, blind, and aphasic. I couldn't see. I couldn't move the left side of my body, and I couldn't speak. So I had to teach myself how to speak, how to move the left side of my body, and how to see again. Because in 1971, it was much different than today, where today there are all these different rehabilitative and therapeutic techniques and strategies to get people back when they've had traumas. In 1971, that wasn't the case. In 1979, that wasn't the case. In 1987, that wasn't the case. So I had to teach myself how to function and how to excel and exceed and excel in a world that didn't have the ability to let me
the
do
tools.
That. So I had to literally forge my path through jungles where there was no path. And that's from where all of my expertise comes. It comes from not only that experience when I was five, but my entire life has been about obstacles and finding the way
overcoming
to get it done.
Them.
Because even today, I still battle with visual and perceptual deficits, with cognitive setbacks. But you know, my mother asked me over dinner a couple of months ago with my sisters and my wife, she said, "Tell me something no one knows about you." And I thought for a second, and I said, every day my disabilities get in my way, and every day my disabilities don't get in my way.
Well, do you think because of what happened, there were different parts of your brain, or your brain that developed? Because sometimes, people, if one path is closed, they develop another path.
I do think so. I do think that was the case with me. When I was five and I was blind and going through that trauma, that experience, those experiences, I had to find ways to communicate with the world so they knew how to help me because they didn't know what I needed. And I didn't know how to, if I couldn't speak and I couldn't move my body, I couldn't say, I couldn't communicate with them what I needed from them. So I had to find ways to teach myself how to speak and how to communicate.
Well, Michael, do you use that background to, when you motivate other people, because I know, because I've gone through it myself, when you start to write something the very, very, very first time, you're looking at a blank sheet of paper. Okay, what do I do with this blank sheet of paper? How do you get started? Do you use what you went through to help people overcome that obstacle?
Stan, I'll answer by saying it this way, is the only way to get started is to just do something. It's If it's writing your book, just sit down and write something.
Absolutely.
The hardest thing to write is the first page. The hardest thing to, the hardest mile to bike is the first mile.
Okay, Michael, hold on to that thought. We have coming up to a break.
Another commercial.
You're listening to The View from Over Here, heard
another
on CRN
commercial.
Digital Talk Radio.
Can't believe it.
And carried on the World Wide Web at crntalk.com. And you can also access our show at www.viewfromoverhere.com. Remember, no there. No there. I'm from Brooklyn. What do you want? No, the. Okay, guys, hang on, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
That's very funny.
Okay, we are back. This is Stan Weisleder on The View from Over Here, and we are broadcasting on crntalk.com all over the whole planet. In fact, it goes out beyond the planet, so if you are on Kepler 186F,
hello.
You will hear us. Yep. It may take a while for
we'll
the signal to get there, but you'll hear us.
But as you said, they'll hear us another 100,000 years, 800,000 years.
500 light years away from now.
We'll always be alive. Well, that's why we want to find out who.
Let me ask you something. Is it an honor to have something named after you that's 500 light years away? Isn't it better to have something that's like one light year away where you won't be sold when they find out that it was named after you?
But there's nothing that is one light year away.
But Stan. Michael,
there's nothing one light year away.
When you realize we're all just a speck of sand on the beach of life, doesn't really matter.
Stan, is that true? There's nothing one light year away because I have plans for a light year from now.
Michael, the nearest star system is about 3.5 light years away. Nothing in between. A lot of space.
But I imagine when you're on your way there, it could be a light year, 3.5 light years. Who cares at that point?
You better load up your iPod before you get on
the
train.
Karen, I wanted to ask you about your ability.
Okay? Yes, sir.
I know there are a lot of people out there that claim to be psychics, and people make fun, and they say, well, call the psychic hotline if you have a problem. And there are people that soak other people. But you seem to be the real thing, but I'd like to know, tell us about what you've done and what kind of experiences you've had, whether they be with police agencies, individuals. Tell us. Entertain us.
Well, the best reference I can ever give anybody is that I have a lot of the same clients for over 40 years, and I still read for them and their grown children now. I worked on murder cases all over the world. I did the Hillside Strangler case here.
That was one of my favorites.
Yeah, I did that. Was it? Yeah, it was a big hit. Let me tell you. As serial murderers go.
Well, the thing is, how do you, when in your everyday life, do you get premonitions? Do you feel things? Or you walk along like normal, like us?
Well, no. I mean, when I was, it's always been, my gift is always on, okay? It doesn't have some off-on switch. It's always on.
So if someone passes you in the street, do you get the
feeling? Always information coming in. But I'm very respectful of people's privacy. I'm not the person that's going to walk up to somebody in Trader Joe's parking lot and go, oh, by the way. Right. It's none of my business, and I'm very respectful. But, and if you want to know something, ask me.
Do you think you could change what's going to happen?
Absolutely.
I read your book with that,
right,
the driver.
Right. Yeah. I have a book out called My Life Across the Table.
And you have to tell our listeners where they can get it.
1 second. They are all true stories. Every single word of the stories are true. I changed everybody's name except Peter Hercos, Gene Dixon's, and mine. But everyone.
Who's Peter Hercos?
Peter Hercos was the psychic that worked on the Boston Strangler case. Mm. And he was a painter from Holland that fell off a ladder and hit his head, funny enough.
I don't think that's funny.
I know. You don't? What's wrong with you?
Sound familiar, huh?
Yeah. And Karen, woke up with these
Karen,
gifts.
There was a guy before you by the name of Edward Casey.
Oh, I loved Edward Casey. Edgar Casey.
Okay, Edgar. Okay, Casey. Yes. He's were about
the Sleeping Prophet.
Yes, yes. There were about three or four books about him. I remember.
Oh,
reading
more,
them.
More.
Yeah, well, three or four that I read.
Well, okay. He could stand. He could not. He had absolutely no gift when he was awake.
Right, he had,
he
to, be
had
asleep.
To go into an altered state to get the information. I read exactly like I talk, which could be a good thing or a bad thing.
So you're awake while you do it.
Yes, and okay. I ask my clients to record their readings because I read in a great deal of detail. I'll tell you, it's funny, I always say that people think that somebody's coming to me to find out if they're going to meet a tall, dark stranger on the pier.
That was the question I was wanting to ask you.
1 second.
Isn't that how the Boston Strangler got started?
And I always tell them, please don't come to me unless you actually are going to meet a tall, dark stranger on the pier. But I'll tell you on what day, what time, what the weather's going to look like, where he's from.
If you can give us his address now, we can stop him from committing the crime.
How many siblings he has, if he's been married or divorced. It's a lot of detail.
Okay, I
want to. That's why I want people to record it.
Oh, okay. So if I ask you a question like, will the Israelis be able to settle their differences with the Palestinians? Is that something within your ability?
I can tell you that. You and I both know that this has nothing to do with Arabs and Jews. This is not about them being Palestinians and us being Jewish. Okay, it has nothing to do with that because they lived together for a zillion years.
And fought together for a zillion years.
But can I this is a political issue. This is they've lived side by side.
Killing each other for millennia.
But wait a minute. And that's usually when somebody's, excuse me, I'll keep this clean, stirring the pot, okay? It's to, you go after them because so-and-so said. You're dealing with not highly educated people.
Can I tell you something? The Jews and the Palestinians or Arabs, the Republicans and the Democrats, nobody's ever going to get along until Mac and Windows can get along.
Until what?
Mac and Windows can be compatible.
That's very funny. Better. Yeah. Well, that'll happen before the Middle East.
I have a question for you. Now, when you read the newspaper,
mm-hmm. You're going to love this. My ex-husband used to say he loved watching the news with me because I would talk back to the TV and say, that's not what happened. So when I read the newspaper, it's the same exact thing. That is absolutely not what happened.
How have you – I can imagine like if I was watching something or seeing somebody pass by and I get some sort of premonition about them, I'd be tapping them on the shoulder saying, excuse me, you know, but I just felt –
because really I'm very respectful of people's privacy. And if somebody wants to come for a reading, because I do business consulting, I was telling Stan earlier, I have clients and have read for people and have lived all over the world. And I have clients from garbage collectors to kings. Heads of state and CEOs and actual real housewives, not the ones
the
of
Beverly
New Jersey
Hills.
Or Beverly Hills.
Oh, not those. Those
people.
Not the real housewives.
Yeah, right. No, actually the real
the
housewives.
The real housewives.
Yeah. Students and people that are starting businesses. And
you know what, Karen? 500 years ago, if you lived 500 years ago, they would burn you at the stake.
Yeah.
Alive.
And that,
is that off the table for today?
Yeah. That's why I'll... What? Steak? I'm for steak. Let's go.
According to Sharia law, would you be stoned?
She's
stoned
right now.
Personally,
I've never done drugs, so I would not be stoned.
No, I mean...
No, you actually think... Am I blonde?
Yeah, I don't have that,
Bada bing. She's here through Thursday, folks. Probably, yeah. Or they'd be so scared of me, they would run. And I'd be living in a hut by myself.
A hut.
But I, you know, it's funny because when people meet me, it's the last thing on the planet they think I ever do.
Oh, right. But when they find out.
Yeah, then they kind of go, really?
Does that interfere with friendship?
No, because actually I don't have one living family member. I don't have one blood relative. But
you
I have this enormous family of friends that have all come to me through my work.
But do they constantly talk, you know, what's going to happen? What's, you know,
no,
should I
because
do this,
after or? A while, it's kind of hard when I'm making chicken or Thanksgiving dinner and they... It's kind of hard to remember that's what I do.
When they,
I actually have a real life.
Yeah, and what about when they ask you for stock market tips?
Oh, I've done lots of that. I have clients in Texas that should erect a monument in my honor.
we got to talk after the show.
Yep.
Especially, you know, with
did you know? Did you know a psychic named George Roman? Do you know that name? It's been gone a little while.
I was going to say that the name is sort of vaguely familiar. Yeah.
He was a friend of mine who's now deceased, but he was an amazing psychic.
Oh, he's probably hanging out with Gene and Peter.
Probably Peter.
Mean up wherever.
Peter was lovely, a lovely man. It's so funny because the first time I got a phone call from somebody, when I would ask them, you know, how did you find me? They would say I was referred by Gene Dixon or Peter Hurkos, and I would say, really? You know, I was a kid. I was a little kid.
Karen, as a psychic, do people ever ask you the question, what happens and where do we go when we die?
Well, if they think this is the end of it, how sad is that? Yeah, I do. I get asked that a lot.
Well, some people look
What's
forward
your answer?
To the end of it.
What
well,
do you
but
tell
that's
them?
The end of this.
My physical... grandmother used to say, I wish I were dead, and she got her wish.
You know what? And it is the
this
one thing.
This is a tough
thing,
room.
It's the one thing we all share in common on the planet. We're all going to die.
We were all born also.
Well, and we're all built for obsolescence.
Well, I think it was Harry Houdini said that, because I know... at least according to the movie, that when his mother passed, he tried all these psychics and trying to contact
her
and expose them as
Henry
phonies.
Ford.
And he said that if there's a way of coming back,
believe.
He will.
That was the word.
Henry Ford kept trying to reach his mother, found out she was in the trunk.
Bada bing! That was good.
So anyway, Karen,
so is your wife
what
a stand-up comedian
when
or
they
you?
She's funnier than me.
I'm sorry?
What do you tell people when they ask you that question that people have been asking from the beginning of time?
Well,
what happens afterwards?
I believe that there are many... This is just the Karen Page theory. I believe there are many worlds of God. I don't care what religion you are. I don't care how you pray, if you wear a hat, if you eat kosher, if you are Catholic or Christian. I don't care how what you call it. There is... certainly something a great deal bigger than us. And I believe that it's God. That's what I call him.
Well, you said okay. Personally, so it's not a psychic type of feeling. Is this a personal?
No, I'm telling you this is my personal feeling because it is what I – and I have friends from every possible background, from everywhere in the world. My house looks like the UN when I have a dinner party. Okay, and I don't care what religion they are or how.
How's the parking?
It's fabulous, actually. But thanks for asking. So I believe that the soul is the only thing that is meant to be embodied in whatever this casing is, and that's the only thing that lives, survives death.
Well, it reminds me. I don't know if you've ever seen or been. By somebody who's alive and then at that moment of death.
Absolutely,
and,
I have.
And there is totally a different feeling.
Well, there it's like
I've been
an
around
empty
several
vessel.
People. Right.
Have you ever seen the movie?
Yes, probably.
Gosh, it was just the name was just in my brain.
Yeah, but Karen knows the name.
Ghosts.
12 grams or something about when the body leaves.
Yes.
What was that movie?
It's I don't think it's 12 called grams? 12 grams. I think it's called 30, isn't it?
No, it's called something grams.
It's called something.
Yes.
It's about the weight. It came down to the difference.
There's a movie called 21 grams.
Yeah. 21 grams. Yeah. That's it.
But I know that there, and just viewing it, now I don't know if it's perspective or not of mine, but viewing that person when they are alive.
They're not
and
there.
Even though they're in a coma or something.
They're not
there. There's something alive in their body. And all of a sudden when the doctor says, they passed.
Yeah.
Malcolm, and the body looks different.
Because
I don't know if it's my perception.
Essence, how many times have you seen that?
The essence of the person, our soul, when we die, it's... We've left, and the book cover is all that's left.
Well, keep that in thought. I don't know if we should think about that during our break.
Well, of course, we all should.
But
we'll think about it when we go to the bathroom.
It's a potty break now. You're listening to The View from Over Here, heard on CRN Talk, digital talk radio, and carried on the World Wide Web at crntalk.com. And you can hear our shows on www.viewfromoverhere.com. No, the. Stay
That's
tuned.
Very
and
confusing
we'll...
when you say that.
Or
you're,
not.
But you're confused.
I'm always confused.
We'll be back there a few minutes to sign off.
2 days apart.
Bye.
We are back. Can you hear me, Paul? Is this live, or are we doing an Uncle Don? Come on.
Well, I don't know. I'm live. I don't know about you.
I think I'm live.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is Stan Weisleder in the studio with Malcolm Berman, Michael Herman, and Karen Page.
Oh,
you got to be fast.
On the
musical.
View from Over Here, crntalk.com.
But we only have like a minute or so, right?
No.
We have 4 minutes. Okay.
4 minutes, according to
Paul.
4 minutes
go by
fast.
I know.
All right. Karen, you're here to make a good prediction. I don't want to hear a bad prediction. Give me a good one.
I don't believe there are bad predictions.
Is the Miami Heat going to win the championship?
And by how many points?
What was the question, Stan?
Well, you just heard the question.
No, that's
is there a more relevant question?
Sports
okay.
conversation?
Oh, you don't do sports.
Right.
Okay.
Michael, she does only people, not sports.
Okay. How about what's the name of the guy that owns the Clippers right now?
That's sports.
Donald Sterling.
It's people. Is Donald Sterling going to walk away or?
Never. Well, he will be forced to walk away, and Shelly will also be forced to walk away.
One other question, Karen. Would you come to Las Vegas with me next weekend?
Is it a family that we're coming with? The family?
You can come with the family. I don't care as long as as long as you're with me at the crap table.
There are no backies. Once that's out there, it's out there. Karen, Anna is listening.
Can I tell you something? She knows she's safe. He's safe with me.
Oh, okay.
I'm protecting her interests. She got nothing to worry about.
The question is,
would you be banned from the casinos if they knew?
Oh, yeah.
Are you a card counter?
Not a chance. I don't have the patience for that.
Can you predict what number's going to come up on the roulette table?
No, I just walk past things and kind of get a feeling, and I stop. And
Definitely.
Can you force the dice to roll over from 5-1 to 5-2?
Is what?
Can you make the dice roll over?
No.
I can.
Because if you could, we have a lot that we could do.
Well, we don't have to do this show. We just... Stan has a house in...
But then you have to be in Las Vegas.
No, Stan has a house in Vegas.
Are you a good poker player?
Yes, I used to have a poker game at my house.
And I bet you always won.
Yes, and a friend of mine said, it isn't fair, Karen. You're a psychic. I said, yeah, but the Karen... poker game comes with dinner. I mean, can you beat that?
Just leave your money
at the front, and we'll give you dinner and the cards.
Yeah, but you had the house had 10% of each pot, right?
No. No.
No, seriously, have you ever gone to Las Vegas to partake in any of those activities?
If they waited for me to go to Las Vegas for that, there would be no Las Vegas.
Got it. Okay. Okay. So you don't believe in Las Vegas?
No, no, no. I'll go to Las Vegas if I'm it to enjoy myself. I'll go for a trade show for with a friend of mine.
Or if you need any extra cash.
No. That would be the last place I would go.
Anyway, guys, it's at the end of our hour already. And we'd like to thank you very much.
This was
Thanks
a pleasure.
Much.
Yeah.
How many seconds, Paul?
And Michael, we'd like to have your wife come on the
60
show.
60 seconds.
I mean, you can come with her.
She's at CoquelinPenny.com.
No, wait a minute. Okay. If she comes on, we don't want Michael. Just have her with her mother.
he can stay in the control room.
Okay, Michael could wait in the control room.
You know.
Yes. You know why he can't come on? We have only three seats here. So one for his wife, one for her mother. Michael has to wait in the ante room.
There's another third seat right down there.
That one doesn't count.
Right, no microphone.
It's out of camera range.
Anyway,
and Karen,
we want you to come on periodically to tell us what's happening, what will happen.
I would love to.
And
by the way, they are going to find the Malaysian flight.
Ah, okay, you've heard that. Okay, that's it. You're listening to The View from Over Here, heard on CRN Digital, Talk Radio, and carried on the World Wide Web. And we'll be back next week at the same time at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard.
The View from Over Here is a co-production of Infinity X and TBG International. For further information, contact Malcolm Berman at 818-687-2784. That's 818-687-2784.